Good afternoon, everyone. First job is here to welcome this morning Adrian McAllister, who is an elder in Dungannon. We have had him here before. And Adrian, we look forward to hearing your message from the Word of God later on. The announcements, midweek Bible study, as usual, 18th of May, 8 p.m., Glenhoy Presbyterian Church, or on Zoom. Little Lambs, Parents and Toddlers Group will meet on Wednesday the 18th of May at 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. in the Bailey Hall. All babies, preschools and their carers are welcome. On the 5th of June, we will, God willing, mark Her Majesty the Queen's Platinum Jubilee by having a congregational barbecue after the service. To that end, to help with planning, there is a sign-up sheet in the vestibule for you to put your name down if you plan to attend. Faith on the Farm is a weekend of events run in association with the Faith Mission Gospel Truck on a family farm in the locality from Friday the 10th to the 12th of June. Events will include 18th social on Friday the 10th starting at 9 p.m, men's night on Saturday starting at 7:30 p.m, family service on the 12th of June starting at 6 p.m. In the vestibule, you'll find these here. It's Christian Aid Week. Take one with you. Put plenty into it. Bring it back. Put it in the plate. And you'll find them out in the hall. The only other announcement I have to make is that of the death of Howard Robinson, brother of John Robinson, Skelger Road. Now, I have little details in relation to it, but on behalf of the congregation here, I would pass on to John, Marina, and the wider family circle our sincere condolences, and may God be present with them at this time. Those are all the announcements. I'll leave you now in the very good hands of Adrian McAllister. Thank you.
Good morning. I'd like to add my welcome to you, to church this morning. It's lovely to see you all, and I trust that you will feel blessed as we seek to worship God together. It's my very great pleasure to be back with you, and I want to thank Brian for his kind words of welcome here this morning. And I want to also thank the Reverend Fraser for his kind invitation to allow me to be here this morning. We have gathered here this morning to worship God and to encourage ourselves in the things of our Christian faith. And I'm trusting through what we say and sing and think that God will be given all the glory and that we ourselves will be revitalized in our faith. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let us have a moment's prayer. Heavenly Father, it is indeed the case that our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And it is indeed the case that we ask that your name be blessed and praised forever. We praise your name because there is truly none like you. You alone are the awesome Creator God. You alone are the Maker of heaven and earth. You alone are God Supreme, Master of the entire universe and indeed everything and anything that is beyond, if there is such. You alone are the maker of humankind, and you alone are our salvation. Praise be unto you, Creator God, Sovereign King, Lord of all, friend, brother, especially Savior. And blessed indeed are we when we can call you our Father and know that you are our help in times of trouble, in times of anxiety, in times of fear, in times of worry. And we know that we could have none better to help us. We ask that you would draw near to us in this hour of worship. We ask that you would speak to our hearts. We ask that we would hear your voice and know your presence is amongst us. And we pray at this time of worship would be a time when we would be built up on the things of God, that we would leave this place different from what we came in, built up on our most holy faith, more able to live out in the week ahead that which we believe in our hearts. In your Son's holy and precious name we ask and pray. Amen. Our first praise this morning is on your screens. Let us sing this to God's glory. It is, to God be the glory. Let us sing this to his glory. Let us come before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us safely through this past week and into the first day of this incoming week. We come before you to acknowledge that we need your help as we face all the demands and the challenges and perhaps trials that this new week has in store for us. We ask that throughout this week we will experience your grace, your guidance, your gladness, your strength, your companionship, and your help in everything we do and say. We thank you that even though things may happen to us that may surprise us, nothing will happen to us that will surprise you, for you know all things already, and you've already provisioned answers and solutions to all the situations we will face. And so in the light of your wonderful scripture promise that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, we ask that you will help us to cast all our cares upon you, knowing that you care for us more than anyone else in the whole world ever possibly can. Help us, we pray, in all we do, to show kindness and gratitude to those around us and to honor your holy name at all times and in every way through our speech, action, and thought. Heavenly Father, we come before you to ask for forgiveness. We acknowledge that we are not what we should be. We fail ourselves, we fail others, we fail you. It seems that often enough our whole week is taken up with our own concerns and that very little time is given to you. And so we ask that you would forgive us if we have hurt someone or disappointed someone in the past week. We ask that you would forgive us if we have been disloyal to a friend, perhaps. Forgive us if we have been untrue in some way to someone we love or someone who loves us. Forgive us if we have failed to give help when we easily could have, but considered our own time more important. Forgive us when we saw a need and failed to do anything to meet it. We take a few moments of silent, private, personal prayer to bring our specific sins before you and to ask for your forgiveness. We sum up all our prayers in the prayer which you taught us to say together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Ever and ever. Amen. Our reading is taken from Psalm 37. Psalm 37, a reading from verse 1. And my theme this morning is fear, and this psalm speaks a little bit about that issue, which is why I've chosen it. Psalm 37, reading from verse 1. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Instead, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness reward shine like the dawn. He will make your vindication shine like the noonday sun. Amen. May God bless us this reading from his holy word. Boys and girls, I want to talk to you this morning about this word. And I know that we're perhaps online and so on, so this is the word fear, and I want to talk to you about the idea of fear this morning. Because we all have many, this is a very important word, because we all, be it young people or older people, have fears in our lives, and we have to deal with it. I have a little granddaughter, and I know that she has to sleep with a light on at night in her bedroom, a tiny light, or sometimes the door has to be left open on the landing, so she's afraid of the dark at that age. So, but there are lots of other fears that we have. Lots of us have lots of different fears. Fear is a common thing, common problem. Some people fear heights. I'm actually not too good on heights. but some people fear animals, large animals. And I know whenever I take that granddaughter for a walk up the road and there are cows or cattle in a field and I know they're coming up, you know the way they do, they get nosy. And they come up and you can actually stroke their faces, their giant faces. Well, my granddaughter doesn't really like to do that. It's a real struggle for her to put out her hand and touch the head of those and the nose of those big cows. Because she's scared of them. They're big and they're scary. And then, of course, you can be scared of small animals like spiders or earwigs or little things like that. So we can be afraid of big ones. We can be afraid of and then, of course, we could be wasps. It's right to be afraid of wasps. Because they can sting you. Some people are afraid of needles. Some people are afraid of lightning and thunder on tight spaces. And there's lots of other things, boys and girls, that we can be afraid of. The thing is, some things it's okay to be afraid of. There's other things it's not. And I want to tell you a story this morning about how I was afraid in my youth. I'm going to tell you a story. But there is a picture, it's a very famous picture, and some of you will recognize it as the Dark Hedges in Antrim. Some of you might have been to see the Dark Hedges. You know, it was made famous through that TV series Game of Thrones. But you can see there that looks like a scary place, all these trees growing up and closing in at the top. Well, whenever I was a young teenager, I lived in a farm. And like many farms, there's a lane up to the farm, the building, the farmhouse and the buildings, and then there's a lane out the back going to the fields. Well, in actual fact, the farm that I lived on, my parents' farm, was adjoined, directly adjoined, the two farmhouses to the neighbour. They were side by side, they shared a middle wall. And so you had this lane running out the back to the fields. It was really long because there was all these fields of both farms. It might have been a quarter of a mile long. But that was okay until you come to the wintertime. And in the dark, and this lane was narrow, and the hedges grew up, and in at the top, it was more like a tunnel than a lane. And it was the spookiest place you ever saw at night. It's fine during the day, but at night time it was wild scary, I assure you, and I was scared in that. So it was okay until the wintertime. My father would say, go and close the gate on those cows. So you had to walk behind the cows up this lane. And what always amazed me, boys and girls, is they weren't afraid. They would watch those cows and they'd amble along and they'd take a bite of grass off the bank. They weren't one bit afraid, not like me. I was scared. And so he'd walk the cows up, and it didn't matter if you brought a flashlight or not. It didn't matter at all. It made no difference. So anyway, you walked them to the end of the lane and then you'd close the gate and then you turn around to walk home. Well, you hoped you walked home, but sometimes I would break into a run. And that really annoyed me because whenever I did that, I realized that fear had got the better of me and I was a real scaredy custard because I had to run home. But the darkness and the spookiness of the place was really scary, and that's the way I... But the thing is, whenever I got back to the farm and the light, well, the fear disappeared. So in actual fact, you see, boys and girls, there was nothing to be afraid of at all. It was all in my head. And so some fears are like that, and there's fears that we shouldn't be afraid of, and that's what I really want to talk to you about. And there's a verse here, it says, he will bring me out of the darkness into the light. And that's what God does. So whenever we think about fear, you know, whenever I think about that lane coming from the darkness into the light, we can think about that in a spiritual sense and realize that God brings us out of the darkness, brings us out of the darkness of our fears and into his light and takes away. And once you get into God's light, those fears disappear. They just evaporate. They just disappear as if they weren't there. It's absolutely amazing. And it's God's word that does that, and God's power within us. What got me thinking of this whole idea of fear was this verse actually here. It's from 1 John 4:18. And it says, and this is the antidote for fear. So if you ever have fear in your life, be you young or old, this is the antidote. Perfect love drives out fear. Do you realize that love kills fear? Love kills so many things. It kills hate and kills so many bad things in our lives. But this morning I want to remind you that love kills fear. It says here in this verse, perfect love. Now, our love, as human beings, we love, but we can never love perfectly. Only God can love perfectly. And he loves us with a perfect love. And the more of his perfect love we have in our hearts, the more able we are to drive fear out of our lives. This is the antidote. God's power within us drives out fear. Because that's what the verse says. Love drives out or kills fear. So that's what I want you to remember, boys and girls. Whenever you're scared, you say a wee prayer, and God will help you through your fears, whatever those fears may be. Perfect love drives out fear. We come to our children's hymn this morning on your screens. I am so glad. So let's sing this to God's glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we now bring our tortured and troubled world before you, a world riven by disputes and grievances of the past and present, a world torn apart by hatreds and lack of forgiveness, a world accustomed to suffering and pain that drive men and nations to brutality, murder, and war. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would have mercy upon our hurting world, we pray. We bring before you this awful war in Ukraine. Our news channels fill us with disbelief and horror as we observe the destruction and suffering that has befallen this country. Our hearts go out to the millions of people who have been traumatized and terrorized and filled with fear for what the future holds for them. We pray for peace. We pray that an agreement can be found that will stop this war. We pray for an end to the bombing and the shooting and the killing. We pray for wisdom upon the international community leaders that they will do everything they can to uphold justice and work for peace. We pray for President Zelensky and his government that you will grant them wisdom, your wisdom amidst the chaos of war. And we pray for your church that it will become, and delighted to hear it is, being a beacon of light and hope and love and help and sacrifice as it reaches out to the needy. We pray for an outpouring of support and resources and aid of every kind to pour into Ukraine and find its way to those who require it. Heavenly Father, have mercy, we pray, upon our hurting world and especially upon the people of Ukraine at this time, but also all the other war spots in our world, and there are many, and also upon famine areas such as northern Kenya at this time, where a huge famine is there and is unfolding and continuing. Father, have mercy. We think too of our persecuted church. We think of our persecuted brothers and sisters across the world who are not free to follow you and serve you in the way that we are and the way that they would like to. We remember those incarcerated in prisons, held captive in dungeons, locked in their cells, those who would love to hear the words of our hymn sung this morning but can't, those whose faith is being tested to the limit and feared will give way to the pressure, due to the pressure. And so we ask, Father, that you would preserve all such. Have mercy upon them. Strengthen them in their bodies, souls, and minds. Move in their hearts in miraculous ways to keep them safe. Hurry their release. Cause them in their spirits to soar on eagle's wings. Enable them to become more than conquerors through him who loved them and gave his life for them. We bring our prayers near our home. We remember at this time of year all students who will soon have to sit exams. Indeed, some are already started and are well in the middle of preparing for them. Grant them focus and concentration in that preparation, we pray. Enable them to work hard, to be disciplined in their revision so that they will have no regrets. And grant them the ability to understand and remember the material they study. Take away all nerves during the exams and also remove all fear, we pray. We pray that the examination period will also be a time when faith in you is built up, when trust in you is deepened, and when commitment to you is developed. Have mercy upon our young people, we pray, as they engage in these vitally important tests for their future. We remember the Northwest 2000 motorbike race completed yesterday, and we thank you that all went off safely this year. We pray for those Christians and Christian organizations who reach out with the gospel at the Northwest and try to touch people's lives for you. We pray your blessing upon their efforts. We pray your blessing upon every word that was spoken for you and every track that was taken. And we also pray that all spectators and everyone connected with the running of the races will get home safely and can look back with happy memories of their time spent there. We pray the same for Balmoral Show this week. And thank you for it, and thank you for the blessing of it. And pray again your blessing upon all efforts to promote the gospel at these times. In your son's name, we ask these things and pray. Amen. The world in which we live is full of countless things that make us afraid. Some people fear spiders, others snakes, others heights, others water. Some people fear tight spaces, some people fear the dark. Researchers at Johns Hopkins University reported that 30 to 40 years ago, the greatest fears of school children were animals, being in a dark room, high places, strangers, and loud noises. It turns out today that kids are more afraid of divorce, cancer, global warming, war, and disease. As human beings, we have many fears in our lives. Some of us fear death. Some of us fear declining health, declining mobility, contracting COVID or some other disease, or getting into financial difficulties, perhaps losing our job or house or business, perhaps a child getting ill or not performing at school, or any one of a whole myriad of fears that haunt sinful human beings. It is quite clear that fear is a very real and very powerful emotion in our lives, and it turns out that fear can be classified into three types. This is just one way of classifying. There is a healthy fear, there's a harmful fear, and there's a holy fear. Did you realize that not all fear is bad? In fact, there are lots of fears that are extremely helpful and extremely important in our lives. Indeed, there are many fears that God has purposefully built into our lives and for a very good reason, and that is to keep us safe. And so let us ask then, what is a healthy fear? A healthy fear is the fear of something that is harmful, something that may be dangerous or damaging or even life-threatening. A child has to be taught to avoid playing too close to a road, or not to touch a hot plate or boiling water or hot cooking pots, or to jump out of a tree too high. Children have to be taught about road safety, sports safety, online safety, now COVID safety. These types of fears do not hinder us, but help us by setting up useful and sensible safeguards in our lives. Young people have to be taught about the dangers of drugs, alcohol, smoking, dangerous driving. They need to know about safe relationships and many other safety issues. Adults also need to keep themselves from slipping into damaging, unhealthy patterns. And so there are good, healthy fears which are vital for us to learn and pass on to our children, our young people, and society at large. So fear is not all bad. Far from it. There is a very healthy side to fear. But that's not often what we think about when we think of fear. So what then is a harmful fear? Paul speaks about this type of fear to his student Timothy when he wrote, "God has not given you the spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and a sound mind." It seems that Timothy was struggling with fears that were actually hindering his work for the gospel. He was fighting against fears that, if he did not overcome, would potentially undermine his ministry. Such harmful fears are the consequence of the fall of man, recorded in Genesis 3, way back at the start, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and consciousness was replaced with a self-consciousness that made Adam and Eve perceive themselves as naked and vulnerable. They didn't feel that until this point. In other words, our general consciousness of the world around us has been replaced with a new obsession with ourselves. A sinful self-consciousness or self-awareness has now invaded so much of our thinking, compelling us to think in all manner of self-orientated ways that lead to fear. So what are examples of harmful fears? Well, we've already mentioned fear of the dark, but perhaps most harmful fears fall into the category of, and you know this phrase, the fear of man. The fear of man, rather than physical fears. For example, harmful fears could include lacking courage or lacking boldness when the situation requires it, or having an unreasonable fear of being criticized or being afraid of being laughed at, perhaps, or the fear of being wrong, or an enhanced fear of failure so that we are prohibited from taking risks, even quite reasonable or well-calculated risks. All of this is set in the context that none of us are perfect people and we all make mistakes. But I wonder, does a quote from a man called William Gurnall tie in here when he said, "We fear men so much because we fear God so little." I actually think that this quote is central and fundamental to my message to you this morning, and indeed to our whole understanding of this topic of fear. And what is even more important is that this quote also contains, do you realize, the antidote to fear. For do you see that the root problem with so many of the fears in our lives is that we do not sufficiently rely upon the one who is able to quell all our fears. We do not sufficiently rely on the one who is able to take all our fears away and in their place leave us with the gift of his peace. The scriptures tell us that God will remove all our anxious thoughts and in their place fill us with his peace and his fullness of joy. Fear, of course, is no less a problem today than it was for Timothy in his day. And it often surprises me the people who exhibit courage and those who don't. But for all the fears that shape our lives and which we battle against, there is one fear that stands out above all other fears. Did you realize that there's a type of fear that is so important it surpasses all other types of fear? What is this most important of fears, you ask? It is our reverence and awe of the Lord. The Bible calls it the fear of the Lord, and it is the most important fear in all the world, for it turns out that this fear of the Lord is the best of all fears, for it is the fear that you must have if you wish to share in God's eternal life. And so to help us understand this fear of the Lord a little better, let us first of all ask, what is holy fear? What is this fear that the Bible calls the fear of the Lord? Well, it turns out that the fear of the Lord does not actually mean fear in the usual way in which we think of fear. Fear used in this context is more of a reverence. And I want you to remember this, more of a reverence or a respect or an awe of God. People see fear of God as a negative thing, but it's just the words of Scripture. And what Scripture means here is reverence. That's totally different. The fear or reverence of the Lord has been described as an awareness of God's presence and an awareness of his coming judgment. And this idea has been elaborated upon or read as a continual awareness that you're in the presence of a holy and just and almighty God and that your every thought, motive, word, and action are open before him and will be judged by him. Well, that actually does seem a bit scary in one sense, I think. But let me tell you that this fear has the power to destroy all other types of fear in your life. This is the antidote to fear. I've been speaking about the importance of revering God, the importance of developing within ourselves a true fear of the Lord. But I want to end by re-emphasizing the importance of how our fear of God helps us overcome our own fears. And I repeat again that vitally important insight by William Gurnall when he said, "We fear men so much because we fear God so little." This statement is fundamental to this whole issue. For example, if I use this as an example, it is obvious how our fear of man has a direct relationship upon our evangelism. That's obvious. But I also think that this quote by Gurnall could be used in a broader sense where we can realistically say that we fear so many things, not just man, not just, the fear of man, so-called fear of man. We fear so many things in life, so much, because we fear God so little. And the amazing thing is that it turns out that the antidote to fear is fear. Isn't that amazing? In other words, fear of the right kind destroys fear of the wrong kind. The Bible tells us to fear the one who takes all other fears away. Young people, do you want to live a successful life? Of course you do. Well, here's the secret. Fear God. And the scripture says, he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37, verse 4, we read it. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Very simply, the more we fear God, the less we fear other things, no matter what those things are. They could be health issues, COVID issues, death issues, financial issues, relationship issues, fear for our children, our parents, our grandchildren, indeed the whole array of concerns that cause us anxiety, worry, and fear. But the fact is, the more we fear God, the more resourceful we become, the more resilient we become, the stronger we become, because the Lord's power is at our elbow and his power fortifies us against our negative thoughts. And the closer we stay to God, obviously as well, the more we pray and thereby influencing and helping ourselves more and the people around us more. This all makes sense. And I want you to remember, nothing is more powerful than God's Spirit within us. What the Bible calls the new man or the new woman raises us to new levels of resourcefulness that often we didn't even know we possessed. And this means that in times of trouble, we can truly soar on eagle's wings, as the scriptures promise. This ability to rise beyond the trial of our circumstances is often the testimony of those Christians who have been called to pass through the valley of testing. And when they do, it proves to watching human eyes the victorious power and reality of the Lord's fortitude and comfort within the believer. I'm going to end by allowing the scriptures to have the last word on this theme of fear, fearing God this morning. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Never, God says, will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Do you believe that? Romans 8, verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Says the scripture. Nehemiah 4, verse 14. Do not be afraid of them, people or circumstances. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. Mark 9, verse 23. Everything is possible for the one who believes. Do not be skeptical, folks. Everything is possible for the one who believes in the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word, your precious word. Your word has the words of life contained within it. We know that because they're your words. And we praise your holy name this morning that we have access, open access to the scriptures, unlike so many believers in our world today who hide away for fear, for real fear of persecution and real fear for their lives. And our heart goes out to them. Help us in our lives, Father, too, as we struggle with our fears, maybe not so serious, but nevertheless inhibiting, and things that you don't want us to have. And so we pray, Father, that you will grant us your love within our lives in growing measure, in increasing measure, so we can banish all fear and live more effective, productive, efficient lives for you. In your Son's name we ask and pray. Amen. Our final hymn is the hymn, Here Is Love. Let us sing this again to God's glory. Now, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all who we love, this day and forevermore. Amen.